I'd like to begin by introducing myself. That's one chore that I've neglected this morning. My name is David Taylor, and I'm a folklorist, and I work for the Bureau of Florida Folklife Programs. And the outfit that I work for is responsible for the design and the planning and the coordination of the Florida Folk Festival. Every year for the last 5 or 6 years, we've, as part of the Folk Festival, we've set aside a special folklife area to focus on a particular region of the state and its traditions, or a particular occupation and the traditions of that occupation. Last year, this particular area here was concerned with the traditions of the Miami-Dade area, and the year before that, we examined the traditions of the lower St. John's River area, and the year before that, we looked at the traditions of the cattlemen of Florida. Now, this year, as you've seen, if you walked around here at all, we're paying attention to the maritime traditions of this state. There are a lot of material traditions, objects that people make in various ways to catch fish, to dive for sponges, boat building, net making, oyster tonguing. So there are many objects and also techniques for using these objects that are all part of the traditional knowledge that's handed down in communities like Steinhatchee and Mayport and St. Augustine and Key West and all the many coastal communities and inland communities like Crescent City, where people for a long time have been concerned with catching the fish in those waters to support themselves. Now, some traditions, unlike gear making, consist of things that you can't see, and some of them are concerned with words. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, traditions of words. We're going to be talking about telling stories. And you know, fishermen telling stories is such a strong tradition that when someone is, maybe you've done this yourself, you've started telling an exaggeration, and someone, the person who's listening to you, catches on to that exaggeration and can see that you're trying to pull their leg a little bit and says, oh, well, you're just telling a fish story. Or what are you, fishermen or something? You're telling me some lie here, okay? And fishermen, for a long time, have been famous.
Fishermen are not liars. All liars are fishermen.
Okay. Fishermen have a reputation for being men of words. And especially, and if you can imagine the circumstance of being a fisherman, there are a lot of times when you're very active and so busy you can hardly think, but there are a lot of times, too, when you're waiting for your net to come in, or you're sitting doing a monotonous task like heading shrimp or cutting bait, maybe you're sitting close with other men, that it's a natural situation for telling stories to pass the time. And you find that very often in fishing communities, men working closely together, know each other well, working together on a boat or in a fish house, tell stories for entertainment, for fun, to pass the time. And this isn't the usual setting under a yellow and white striped tent out in the middle of White Springs, far from the sea, far from the normal home and comforts and confines of shop and boat. But these gentlemen have agreed to talk with us about storytelling. And, well, as I said earlier, I never know what to expect from these guys. So first I'd like to introduce them, and then we'll let it go from there. On my far right, from Mayport, a very experienced commercial fisherman, party boat skipper, also ran a family seafood business with his wife, Ann, who's sitting out here, and other members of his family for many years in the community of Mayport. Is that a long enough introduction? Captain Ray Singleton, who now lives in Keystone Heights. Yeah. And sitting right next to me from the community of Steinhatchee, which is well represented at the festival, the fish fry out behind this building, I hope you'll take advantage of that, is being conducted by the Steinhatchee chapter, the Organized Fishermen of Florida. There are other folks from Steinhatchee who are demonstrating over here. And one gentleman who's demonstrating stone crab trap making and talking to us in different workshops is Glenn Philman. Let's hear it for Glenn. Now I'm going to turn it over to Glenn to begin with. Can you say a few words about whatever you'd like, I guess?
Well, maybe I can think of something to say.
shot already.
Take this off, Dave. I like to stand up sometimes because you take a commercial fisherman sometimes, he's so full of it that he sits down. If he stays sitting down, you know, he gets in bind. You know what I'm talking about. You know, today's Sunday. You know, I don't think it's a good policy. You know, we ought to tell it like it is, you know. And if I do that, well, y'all check me out because I ain't supposed to, you know, on something like this. But anyhow, that's what we're talking about, stories. And everything that we're doing is related to history. What I want to tell you about right now is history. But it's not but about 3 days old. And I want to verify this with Dave. He don't even know this. In other words, when we first started off the first day, we had a man here from Miami Herald. And he wanted to put tape recorders on us where he could get the story, you know. I don't know what he's going to do with it. I know what we do with Sarah and Roebuck catalog sometimes. but anyhow, Dave, am I right? Now, in other words, I'm telling it like it is. Yeah.
Now, remember, today's Sunday.
Right, today's Sunday. All right. He sat here and listened to our stories, and Ray's going to tell some good ones if I give him a few minutes.
I can't talk to you.
but anyhow, he listened to our stories, you know, and he left. I hadn't seen him since, but I heard from him last night. He called me last night at the house. Must have been 12 o'clock. I think we'd made it home. We stayed here pretty late last night. But anyhow, he called me and said, "We got a problem." I said, "What in the world are you talking about?" I mean, he had me upset. So he got on with his story. I said, "What's your problem?" He said, These stories that I taped on y'all up there, he said, "I can't get them things to play nowhere but in the bathroom." He said, "They got so much bull in them, I have to be there to where I can wipe them off when I get through playing them." So I guess we kind of got pretty serious with him. But anyhow, I'm from Steinhatchee. Do y'all know where Steinhatchee is? A lot of you do. Well, I'm glad you do because really, there ain't no way to get there from him. In other words, you're going to have to go. You can't leave him and go there. You're going to have to go to Cross City or either Perry. And go one way or the other. If you go to Perry, you done gone too far. You have to turn around. But anyhow, that's the way you get to Steinhatchee. But I tell you what, I've been there 57 years, and I like it. We got a lot of breathing room there. We got it all. We got fishing. We got hunting. It ain't too far to town if your wife needs some groceries. And she'll run up there and be gone, you know, all day getting a loaf of bread. You know how it is. But anyhow, the river separates Dixie and Taylor County. That's the dividing line. And I live in Dixie. And I tell you what, I'm kind of proud of it because in the Guinness Book of Records, and this is a record, the biggest red belly that's ever been caught was caught on this Swanee River in Dixie County. But anyhow, I want to refer a little bit back to where I live at Steinhatchee, you know. I hadn't seen it, the record yet, but I'm sure it's there. This happened several years ago, too. In other words, Steinhatchee River is famous for a speckled trout that comes up there during the winter. Man, that thing just fills up. This man and woman was out there fishing, you know, and they caught one of the biggest speckled trout. They said, I didn't see it, that they had ever hung. And they was fishing light tackle, you know. So they started trying to get that fish in there and load him in the boat. They lost the fish. I wish I could have seen it. But they caught the hole that the fish come out of in the water and weighed it. It weighed 15 pounds. Just the hole where it come out of the water. So I imagine that was a big fish. Ray, you want me to turn it over to you a little bit or keep on?
You keep right on because there's no way to top you.
Maybe I can think of another. You know, where I live, you know, being a commercial fisherman, sometimes, you know, it gets rough down there. You don't catch a boatload of fish every time you go, you know, and sometimes we have to rely on the freezer, you know, for things that we caught, you know, back during the season. And so this particular time, I asked my wife, I said, "What are we going to have for dinner tonight?" She said, well, I don't really know. Now, you've always heard, I guess you have, about commercial fishermen always taking away from the water and never putting nothing back. Well, I'm going to tell you that's not true. That is not true. Because my wife got to looking around, and all she could find in the freezer was 3 red roe. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The roe out of a mullet. So she took them roe and she went in there. They was froze. And put them in the kitchen sink, you know, and put water on them and walked on out. And, you know, I live right side close to the river, you know. Real close to it, about 4 miles. But anyhow, directly I heard her hollering, you know, and I mean just cutting up. And I run in there and I thought she'd got hurt or something. And I tell you what, I was surprised when I got in there. Them red roe, when they thawed out, them eggs went to hatching, and we took about 50-something thousand mullet and turned them into the Steinhatchee River. So don't ever let anybody tell you that a commercial fisherman don't put back into the woods. I'm going to let Ray.
No, you go
good.
Ray
got
right there.
He still got some good ones. I'm going to turn it over to him a few minutes.
No, I have to tell the truth. No. Well, I don't know where to start because there's no way to top him. So I guess I'm going to have to tell the truth. And tell it on myself, too. But it'll all be the truth. I'm going to have to start when I was a little boy. And I don't... Now it's going to come out, I don't know. But everybody, I think, eats seafood. But when you go to the store now, you see the prices on it. We went down to Keystone there to buy some shrimp for the festival here. And I look in the showcase, $8.95 a pound. Mm. That's right, $8.95
Hard
a pound.
Hard to believe,
ain't. Well... When I was a young fella, I'd say 10 years old, I mean, big enough to throw a cast net. Well, I could throw it before that, but it didn't make it open then. But anyhow, after I got where I could open it up there, we could walk along the river shore and just catch shrimp by the washtubs full, no bait. I mean, big as they grow. You can't do that now. I've drug for them. And that was my livelihood, dragging for shrimp. And one day I hit a school, and we caught 3,400 pounds in about 30 minutes. And now that's not with heads on, that's headed, with heads off. But we got, at the time there, we got 40 cents a pound for them.
In other words, you caught the shrimp with the heads off?
No, we hit it. We had to sit there and pinch the head off each one of them.
I want to make sure you wasn't getting out of line, right?
Well, I don't want to lie on Sunday.
Yeah, I got you.
But, I mean, that's comparison for 40 cents to $8.95 a pound. And that's a pretty good thing. And people don't understand why these shrimp cost so much nowadays. But in those days, you could go up and rig out a boat for $5,000 and go fishing. Mm-hmm. Well, now these fellows is fishing these boats. I would say the least that they're going to get away with is about $175,000 to $200,000. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of difference in $5,000.
Yeah.
And two, there's so many at it. That's one thing, is the overpowering the shrimp. They won't multiply that fast. Well, you get them from all over the world now, too. Now they're farm raising them. In fact, we had some in the restaurant there that came from Ecuador. And down there, it's everything controlled. Whenever they get up to a certain size, then they go out and harvest them. Mm-hmm. And when they harvest them, a friend of mine went down to look it over because he's in the shrimp business, wholesale business. And he said, Ray, he said, when you get ready to harvest those shrimp, he says, the big lakes, He said in 30 minutes from the time they make up their mind that they're going to harvest them, he says they're in a box, frozen, ready to come to the United States or wherever they're going to send them. Mm-hmm. And beautiful. I mean, they look like, with their heads off, they look like they want to jump out the box, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they've come a long way with refrigeration. We used to use ice. You could only stay so many days. Well, 8 days, you better be hunting a port because they turn black. Bacteria sets up in them with ice, and it burns them too. And that's where you get little black spots on them. You'll see. Mm-hmm. It won't hurt you. It won't hurt you one bit. A lot of people say, "Well, they're rotten." Well, when a shrimp gets rotten, you can believe it. He'll start turning red or pink. A white shrimp and a pink shrimp, you can't tell because he's pink already. So when they first started catching shrimp in the Gulf, I can remember that, we had never saw a pink shrimp. Well, all of them were pink. They all rotten, I guess. but they was very hard to get rid of those shrimp because everybody said, well, shrimp pink, he's red, he's rotten. Mm-hmm. Finally, like I say, it's been a long ways now. Well, pink shrimp is, I guess, just as good as white shrimp. I don't say so because I'm an East Coast fisherman. I don't like the West Coast because that's nighttime fishing, and I like daytime fishing. You fish daytime on the East Coast. Well, you do fish nighttime for brownies, brown shrimp. We got a number of kinds of shrimp. You got white shrimp, brown shrimp, pink shrimp, red shrimp, and you got all kinds of shrimp. I want to say one more thing about when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Now you're talking history, ain't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're going back there day before yesterday.
You're about 90 years old.
Who would think that? Oh, well, I'm glad somebody knows me. It's fine, you. Here's a fisherman right here.
Yes.
Yes, sirree.
This is Hilton Floyd over here, very experienced fisherman, grew up in Mayport.
In fact, he married one of my first cousins.
Yeah.
There she is right there. I didn't even see him. See, I wasn't even looking.
What were you going to tell us there about?
I done forgot. Now you spoiled the whole thing. Well, it wasn't nothing but a lie, nohow. So.
Well, we've just got about 5 minutes left in this workshop. The time is going right along. I'd like to get Glenn to tell you a little more about that place called Steinhatchee. And what was that you were saying about foggy weather there the other day?
Oh, they don't have no fog over there.
No fog there?
No fog.
I don't know.
That wasn't fog.
Well, I've been trying to stay on the truth all the time, you know. But look like Dave pulling my leg in. Oh, what are you talking about? If y'all hadn't heard me tell it, I guess a lot of you hadn't. We had an old feller at Steinhatchee that I thought the world of, but if he ever told the truth, I don't know it. It would be a record. But he would tell them, and you could believe whatever you wanted to of them. That was your privilege, you know. But anyhow, I used to love to sit down there. I could sit there all day long and listen to him tell stories. And I believe he'd start at 8 o'clock, and he wouldn't stop till dark and never tell you the same story. But anyhow, like I told you a while ago down there, where I live, you know, I like to brag on that place because I've been there 57 years, and of course, we got it all, like I say. But anyhow, this feller was telling me one day, you know, and I don't know where y'all ever been in the Gulf or not, but it gets awful foggy out there. Lord, it gets foggy. Sometimes you can't see the bow of your boat. That's when I wish my wife was with me. Maybe I couldn't see her. Maybe she didn't hear me. You know, I'm just kidding about that because we've been together 38 years, you know. I ain't know you've stopped now. but anyhow, get back to my story. This old man was out there fishing in the river, and he was catching some of them old, we call them mammy trout. Now, they weigh, ain't nothing to see one weigh 5, 6, 7 pounds, you know. It's a female trout, so that's why we call her a mammy trout. But anyhow, he was catching them things just hand over fist. And just as fast as he could throw that hook out there in that river, he was pulling in one of them old big trout.
and he thought he was throwing that fish in the back of the boat. Well, wasn't paying no attention, you know. He was just interested in getting another fish in that boat. So he fished on and on there for a while, and he figured he had 300 or 400 pounds, you know, and needed to go to the fish house and unload them things, because they, back in the little old boat they fished in, wouldn't be over 12, 14 foot long, you know. Sure didn't want to sink that thing out there. But anyhow, he went to the fish house and eventually, you know, eventually found it. He had to just kind of skin the hill, you know, down the channel, you know, to get the fish out. But he eventually made it. Got up there and went to weigh up his trout and looked around there and got to hunting, and he didn't have the first trout in his boat. Not the first one. And what had happened, he got thinking about that thing. And what it was, that fog was so thick, every time he'd throw one of them fish there back behind him to go in that boat, the fish didn't go in the boat. He swam up that fog, went on back into the river. And but anyhow, he, you know how he is. Thursday, Sunday, I'm going to tell it like it is.
Yeah, but when he went home now, you better forget it's still foggy.
You know, I heard a woman say a while ago, they come by a church out and they said, people are gathering up him. The man looked at him and said, they're supposed to, today's Sunday. She thought they were doing something they weren't supposed to do. But anyhow, I go on with my story. This old fella say, well, I'm just wasting my time. I just well go on to the house. And he lived up the river about a mile from where he was fishing. So, you know, back then you had to fish for oars. You didn't have no motor. There wasn't no such thing as a motor. Back then you'd even have to get an old man that didn't have no teeth to chew your meat skin for you, where it worked good, you know. Yeah, I'm talking about a long time ago back there. But anyhow, like I say, he started on to the house. He'd give it up and went on to the house. Eventually found his way up there. Tied his old boat up, you know, and went on to the house. Went to bed. Next morning at daylight, you know, a man come knocking on his door and woke him up, says, Mr. Arthur, says, you need to go see about your boat. And he told him, he says, what in the world are you talking about? I tied it up down there. What's wrong? Is it sunk? He said, no. He said, it's a hanging in the top of that 50-foot cypress down there. What he had done, he had rode that boat up that fog and tied it right in the top of that cypress. And went on to the house, and the next morning, you know, when the fog cleared, there it hung. Now, don't you mind, that was a pretty sight, that boat sitting up there like that. Oh, I tell you what.
You didn't tell them what kind of bait they were using.
Can I tell one more?
One more, I all think right, we can say, yes.
I have a job keeping up with all this will. Stuff. This is the same old man that I've been talking about him. Boy, he was full of them. But anyhow, at that time, me and my wife was running Taylor's Fish Camp down on Steenhatchee River. I don't know if any of y'all ever been there. Now it's named River Reef. Oh, it's been named 15 or 20 times. They close it up every other weekend. You know, don't make no money, so they close it up. But anyhow, at that time, we was running that thing. And this fella, he'd been out there fishing at night. They catch these trout at night now. I'm serious. Go out there trolling at night and catch them. And he come by there. You know, we just opened up and wife, you know, put eggs and all this stuff, getting them ready to cook. And walked in there, get him a cup of coffee before we went to the house. And there was a lady in there that made a mistake. I know she had the time she done it. She made the mistake to ask him if he had caught any fish. And sure enough, he had done just what I'm saying. He'd caught some fish. He had a cooler full of fish. And this lady says to him, says, I don't understand this. Said, we've been down here on the Steenhatchee River, me and my husband and our poor little children. Said, we've been down here fishing for 2 days, and we hadn't caught the first fish. Lord, I know she'd messed up him, because I knew that old man all my life. But anyhow, he told her, he says, lady, says, what kind of bait are you fishing with?
said, I'm fishing with meat skin. He said, well, that's exactly what I caught these fish on. Said, I don't understand it. Says, do you mind me looking at your meat skin? She said, no. Anything you can do to help me catch some fish. Well, she had to walk all the way down the dock and get her jar. You know, you buy them in jars, jar of meat skins. Bring them back up there, which just took 10 or 15 minutes of her time, you know. And I'd done just about stood more than I could stand, you know, because I knew what was coming. But anyhow, she brought them up there and handed them to him. And the old man didn't really even look at the meat skins. Just set them down and said, lady, I see what your problem is. And she needed some help now. And he was trying to give it to her, you know. But anyhow, he looked at them meat skins and said, what you have done, says, you have went somewhere and bought a meat skin that turns to the left. And said, what's happening? Every time a fish bites your hook, it's a screwing him off. He said, you need to go and buy a right-handed meat skin. Then when he bites it, it'll screw him on. And that poor old woman, I'm going to tell you, for the next 2 hours, she went from fish camp to fish camp asking for a right-hand meat skin. But like I say, I know that woman had messed up when she went to asking all them questions. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Let's hear it for Captain Ray Singleton from Mayport and Glenn Philman from Steinhatchee, and thank you all. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, the Junkanoos from Key West, and if you're feeling at all sluggish this morning, they're going to wake you up, get you going on this nice Sunday, playing some island music for you, so stick around for that.